Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest, and we'll be with you in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our very special guest this afternoon is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. He's retired from the military, but he has an amazing story to tell. Of course, he was in Vietnam. He certainly has been in many, many places serving our country for many years. But more recently, he has written a book called The Expendable Elite, the story of his service with the special forces in Vietnam and elsewhere. And, of course, because of that, why he has had some very, very serious legal problems, it would appear that there are people who do not want the true story that of his life out there. Colonel Marvin, thank you so very much for being with us.
I feel blessed every time I'm on your program, Dr. Stan.
Well, thank you so very much. And, Colonel Marvin, what would you like to tell our listeners today? I mean, what is really on your heart? Because I know you're very, very concerned with this lawsuit coming up, based basically upon an effort to, as they so often do, to discourage anybody from telling the truth about what really happened in Vietnam, or what, of course, your experience is working with the dark side of our government.
Well, you know, you hit it right on the nose right there, the dark side of our government, because, you know, there's no doubt in my mind this is the best nation in the world with the best government and the best military, but we've got some of the most evil people that are actually running the government, and that's what bothers me. And, you know, the lawsuit against my book, which is very serious, I mean, it's a $1 million lawsuit against my publisher and myself, and neither one of us has any money. We've spent a lot of it trying to get the truth out. I'm about $60,000 in debt now, just helping South Vietnamese get into this country and getting the book to the point of where it's been published. What they're out to stop is the next book, the book that tells about 50 years of subterfuge and how what happened in 1966 in Vietnam can relate to what's happening right today in Iraq, or Iran, or just about any place in the world where we're involved and we're trying to gain power of one kind or another. And I can honestly say that I gave a copy of the manuscript of this book to the Special Forces Association, who is behind this lawsuit. They're the one that's financing the whole thing and intimidated my men into actually signing the document to sue me.
And, of course, don't you really feel that that tremendous pressure was put on the men who'd been with you in Vietnam? And probably behind this is the intelligence agencies. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. Don't you think that the men who have signed this complaint against you are simply pawns in a vicious game of punishing anybody who tries to tell the truth?
That's right. It's all a thing of intimidation. You know, the last time I tried to reach my executive officer from the book, and if anybody that reads that book knows that these men are heroes. They were heroes in combat. They were heroes in working and helping the people over there in Vietnam in my area that we were in. But they've been intimidated like the last time.
Oh, hold that thought right there, Colonel. Yeah. We'll be right back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, who was with the Special Forces in Vietnam and served his country faithfully for many years. He eventually wrote a book about what he had experienced in the military. and everything is being done to destroy him. Why? Because the intelligence agencies do not want the American people to know the truth about the subterfuge of what really went on in Vietnam, how the government consistently lied to the American people. And they've gone through an elaborate scheme to get the people who are mentioned in the book to bring a lawsuit against Colonel Marvin without any justification at all. But, of course, the wicked people on the other side will stop at nothing. They're doing the same thing, of course, with the lieutenant colonel who recently came forward. He had served his country for 26 years, and he was exposing the fact that our government knew about Muhammad Atta and knew about the terrorist cell at least a year before the 9-1-1 attack. Why, they've even taken away his health care. They've relieved him of duty. They will not pay him his salary. They will not discharge him so he can't talk. His children have no health care. His family has no income. Everything to destroy a man who served his country, and all he wanted to do was let the American people know that some people in government knew about 9-1-1. Now, certainly this is another example of what's happening to Colonel Marvin, but certainly your book is really talks about how we were actually, you were ordered to operate in Cambodia. Now, they told you that if you were caught, why, you would have no coverage, but you were trained, you were highly skilled and highly trained to fight behind enemy lines. You were part of an elite group, and that was your assignment, wasn't it, to go into Cambodia under certain circumstances and carry out certain operations you were ordered to do.
That's right. We were the first ones, and of course it's in the book, that on the first day of January 1966, I ordered the first bombardment of enemy sanctuaries inside Cambodia. Now, people should know that it wasn't Prince Sihanouk that gave the enemy the sanctuaries. It was President Lyndon Baines Johnson, General Harold K. Johnson, the Army Chief of Staff, and General Westmoreland. General Westmoreland is dead now, but in his book, A Soldier Reports, he admits that he was aware of the enemy sanctuaries in Cambodia. He was aware of the fact that they were permitted the use of the Mekong River to transport their goods on ships that we protected.
And, of course, they were carrying the goods that were going to be used to kill our boys.
Right. The one ship from Lithuania carried like 1,000 tons of weapons and ammunition were then turned around and used against us. But he said he was ordered. This is General Westmoreland, was ordered not to tell the press.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Colonel Marvin was just basically telling about how in General Westmoreland's own book, he talked about the fact that he knew about some of these things that were going on, that they were using the Lithuanian ships to bring supplies up the Mekong River that were going to be used to kill our boys. He was ordered not to intervene, and he was ordered not to tell the media what was really going on. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. In fact, of course, they weren't just Lithuanian ships. There were any ships that could go up and down the river. And he was also ordered not to tell Congress when he gave a report to Congress.
In other words, he was told to lie to Congress about what was going on?
That is correct.
And, of course, this is the trouble, ladies and gentlemen. When you have a military officer, a general, who get up and is ordered to lie to Congress, what do you think he's going to do? Is he going to give up his whole career and his, you know, everything? You know, knowing
full
well they'll destroy him. Sure, he should have. And you did what you should do, and certainly this lieutenant colonel who's talked about Abel Danger, and five people in his group have all come forward, and they will all be destroyed for telling the American people the truth.
Amen. It's a darn shame. The interesting thing, too, Dr. Stan, is that they didn't do anything about my book until I turned over evidence to William Pepper that helped to prove our government was 70% complicit in the murder of Martin Luther King Jr.
And, of course, that's the one thing people never have even been allowed to know. There was actually a trial that was certainly supported by Martin Luther King's family. And that trial was held here in America, and the jury found that the government was complicit in the murder of Martin Luther King, totally blacked out by the controlled media.
Right.
Wasn't there a book written about that?
Yes. Yep. The first book was, let me see here, I've got it right here, was, the last book that tells about the trial and everything is An Act of State, An Act of State by William Pepper. And he tells all about it. In fact, I had a friend of mine who stayed there for the entire trial, And he said the first day there was members of ABC, CBS, and all different kinds of national news media, and one by one they were called out into the hall of the federal court building, and they never came back.
And of course the thing is, they can't let the American people know that our government killed Martin Luther King. And it wasn't simply the good people in our government, but there is a dark side of our government. There are 14 intelligence agencies. Which one were involved, we don't know, but certainly the special forces. Were special forces involved in that?
Yes. In fact, in the book, Orders to Kill by William Pepper, he tells about General Yarborough, actually, as the Army Chief of Intelligence, of arranging for like two teams from the 20th Special Forces Reserve to be called to active duty and to be used just to watch Martin Luther King, every move that he made. And they had orders, if the shooter missed, that they had orders to kill Martin Luther King. These are Green Berets.
And of course, could this really happen in America? And if it could happen, how could they conceal that? An interesting thing would be to try to get copies of Orders to Kill or an active state. I think you probably could track them down. But of course, you'll never hear them discussed on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, because the last thing they want you to know is the truth about what happened.
That's right. Amen to that.
Any more than they can let you know what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened on 9-1-1. In fact, I was doing an interview the other day with somebody who said that, you know, there were a couple of reporters who were going to come out with information on 911. They were called by people in the intelligence agencies pleading with them not to tell the truth, because, of course, the American people couldn't be allowed to know what had happened.
That's right. It's, tell you just something just very recent. I went up and spent 4 days up in the Worcester, Massachusetts area talking about my book. And I told them about the intimidation used on my men, where they were threatened that they lose their retirement pay. That would affect their family, of course, which you can't do if they even so much as just talk to me on the telephone. And one of the men in the audience was a man named Sean O'Connell, who has a brigadier general uncle whose name is Robert O'Connell. And when the general heard from his nephew, he'd about blew his stack. And he said, look, he says, you tell Colonel Marvin that I'll write him a letter that he can send to his men under my letterhead that'll tell them there is no way they could lose their retirement pay by talking to him. I waited 2 months and never got that letter, Dr. Stan. So I called Sean, and he called his uncle, and his uncle said, look, he said, I was going to write that letter, but I found out I got the two meanest CIA agents right in my area, and I'm not going to have anything to do with the colonel.
When people are afraid of their government and their government agents, then, of course, all freedom is gone.
That's right.
Where we really stand today. And there's so many good people who go along with it because they think they're being patriotic, and we should not be critical. But unfortunately, I believe that very wicked people have taken over the reins of leadership and are distorting and destroying this wonderful country we have.
That's a problem. You know, you talk about the reins of leadership. I came back from Vietnam. I spent 7 months in the States, and then I got a call, and they said, well, we'd like to send you to Thailand. And I said, well, what's going on? Because I always liked to go where there was trouble of some kind. And he said, we can't really tell you what it is. So I went over to Thailand, and the first thing I did was stop gun running. And that gun running had... Before I got there, they had shipped 120 American weapons that had been captured in Vietnam by the enemy and then recaptured back, so they're off the books, sent through the 46th Special Forces in Thailand to Detroit, Michigan, to be used to infiltrate the black elements in the black power movements, so that our people could be within those movements to help control them from the Special Forces. And when General Yarborough is written up in the book, Orders to Kill, it tells about them infiltrating in there the black militant units in the Detroit area.
Well, of course, they've infiltrated all of the organizations, both either Christian and conservative and liberal. And certainly the militia movement here in America was largely financed by the government itself. You wanted a controlled enemy like the anti-war movement. And Cindy Sheehan and all of these, they're all being financed and controlled by exactly the same people. You always want a controlled opposition.
Amen.
And until the American people understand how we are manipulated constantly, they really can't effectively see what's going on. Well, what's going to happen to the trial? When will the trial be held?
Well, actually, I leave here day after tomorrow and meet with my attorneys in Charleston. And Monday morning is when the actual trial starts in the federal courthouse. It's a jury trial, federal courthouse, and will run the whole week if all goes as planned.
Well, of course, will your attorneys ask these people, who asked them to actually bring the lawsuit and try to bring out the fact that they were pressured into doing it?
Absolutely. Well, actually, he did a beautiful job in depositions already where he had them admit that the Special Forces Association is paying for the whole thing. And that they met with them, the questionnaires that they initially filled out for their attorneys were written by and even got the letterhead of the Special Forces Association on them.
Why would the Special Forces Association, which is made up of people who are patriotic, who love America, why would they try to do something like that that is frankly dishonest and unhonorable?
Well, the Special Forces Association is, of course, comprised of over 8,000 retired and active duty Green Berets. But the power structure of the Special Forces Association, I believe, in my heart, is under the control of the Central Intelligence Agency, because most of the really tough assignments and even what you could call glamorous assignments, anything to do with covert operations, terrorism, assassinations, industrial sabotage, all works through the Central Intelligence Agency.
And, of course, they really do carry out assassinations and kill national leaders. In fact, weren't you actually asked to kill Prince Sihanouk?
I was asked to put together a group to go over inside Cambodia and ambush Prince Sihanouk when he went on his annual tour up to some of the temples up in Cambodia. And I actually accepted the mission to begin with, because I thought at that time that it was Prince Sihanouk that had given the enemy the sanctuaries. And so he was our enemy in my mind, but I did give him a quid pro quo, because I knew that President Johnson had something to do with those sanctuaries. So I gave him a quid pro quo to Agent Walter McKim, was the name of the man that was there, it's in the book, and that President Johnson would have to take away the enemy's sanctuaries and their use of the Mekong River, and he'd have to tell the American people that. And I had a man, a friend of mine, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that would listen for that announcement and see it also in the New York Times, which at that time we thought it was a good paper.
Well, of course, you know, didn't you realize that if you tried to, give orders to the people at high up in government, they would come after you and destroy you or kill you?
Well, they sure did try. when President Johnson did not meet our requirements on the quid pro quo, I kicked the CIA agent out of my camp. He told me, you can't fight the company, Captain, because you can't win. And within a week, there was a whole regiment of about 1,500 heavily armed Vietnamese on the way to wipe out our camp.
And they were going to kill you and kill all your men.
That's right.
And ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, this is the way our Central Intelligence Agency works. And you see all these television programs, they're always such good guys. But, of course, they're ruthless because, of course, they don't value human life. They do not fear God, and that's the real problem today.
Amen.
When you give people, power that don't fear God, they're going to misuse that power. And power corrupts absolutely everyone.
That's why President Kennedy was killed. Because he was going to take that power away from the CIA.
In fact, he wanted, of course, to really dismember the CIA.
That's
he had
right.
already fired Allen Dulles. And
That's
when you
right.
fired Allen Dulles, who was one of the leaders of this whole dark side of government, why, that was probably when he signed his own death warrant.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Colonel Daniel Marvin. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea. Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened at TWA 800, on the right there off the eastern coast of Oregon? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing, and this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, I guess this afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. And Colonel Marvin is, of course, going to have to undergo this terrible experience of having to go to court. And I tell you that it's no fun at all to have to go to court and testify, you know, in your own defense. Fortunately, I never had to do that, but I've sat in enough trials where other people are under those circumstances to know what it is. And here, something is just totally uncalled for. In fact, hadn't a lot of the people, you know, that brought suit against you actually read the manuscript, you know, and agreed with everything that was there?
Well, not only that, but they, in 1988, I provided them an advanced manuscript, and they provided me audio tapes back, three of them, of items to add to the manuscript or to corroborate what was already in there, to include Lieutenant Strait, the one whose wife told me I couldn't talk to him because they'd lose their retirement pay. He even included in his two audio tapes the fact that I'd saved his life at a place called Khan Bin, and I'd forgot all about it.
Well, now, of course, what is going to happen when you get in the trial? Are you going to have all of this equipment that's there? Are they going to ask him why, you know, after saying that this was, you know, so good that they suddenly changed their mind?
I would hope so. By the way, Craig Roberts, who I heard you talk about on the break, he's quite an outstanding individual, a very courageous man. Have you had Dennis David on your radio show?
Yes, we have had him.
Okay, good.
He's one of the gentlemen who talks about the assassination of Lieutenant Commander Spitzer.
Spitzer, right.
Do you want to tell that story? That is an incredible story. Now, you don't tell that in this book, but this is another example of you being approached to carry out an assassination.
And by the way, the complete details of this and everything that I've ever been involved in will be coming out in a book written by a man named Bruce Brychek, and I will send you information on him so you can be in touch with him. The book will be called The Devious Elite, and it'll be about 50 years of subterfuge.
Well, of course, we'll really look forward to seeing the book when it does come out and be glad to interview him and try to get the story out. And I think it's so important that the American people realize that there are wicked people in this country. And unfortunately, they have infiltrated the leadership of all of our organizations, and they've infiltrated the leadership of both political parties, and that's the reason we're in so much trouble today.
Amen.
And I really believe behind them are these dark spiritual forces that we talk about and that we try to get people to read about and understand. So, but basically, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about your association with the assassination,
or
the possible assassination of Lieutenant Commander Pitzer?
The first week of August of 1965, Colonel C.W. Patton, who was the commanding officer of the 6th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg, called me to his office, and he also called Captain Vanek to his office, and he told us each at a different time, within minutes of each other, to meet with a company man, a CIA man, in the pine trees behind the group headquarters. I was the first one to meet with him. Captain Vanek stayed about 40 feet behind. And he asked me, he said, would you accept a mission to assassinate a man who is going to be giving secrets to the enemy? And I said, certainly. I mean, a man that's doing that to our country, believing that the CIA was straight at the time. I just got out of school and everything not too long before that. And I said, certainly, I'll accept the job. And I said, where's he at? And, who is it and where is he at? And I said, Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitzer, and he's at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And I said, look, I said, you know that I can't accept that. I said, I've got a wife and 3 children, and we're only supposed to get those jobs overseas. The mafia is supposed to take care of all the hits in the United States.
And I think that's so important. The mafia is supposed to take care of the hips in the United States. We have a book written by the brother of the head of the mafia in that time, a man named Chuck Ziancana. He will tell you the mafia was working with the CIA. They were carrying out their assassinations here in the United States. So pick up the story there. Anybody wants the book, it's called Double Cross. We actually carry it today. Double
they should
Cross.
Read that. They should read that book. As well as I do, I think I told you that I met with the head of the mafia up in the Boston area, and he flat invited Master Sergeant Joe Hill and I to leave the Army because he knew we were trained assassins and work for his company.
I'm glad you
mafia.
Didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't, too. And then he told us about the CIA using him by sending part of his construction company to Egypt to help build the hydroelectric power plant for the Aswan High Dam, which was kind of interesting because it was his people, a mafia man's people, that brought back the intelligence on the hydroelectric plant that then came to me, and I'll finish this after that.
All right, fine. I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, to understand our government works with the mafia. Is that why, of course, we really didn't do much about the mafia?
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin is telling us that he turned down the assassination to aid in the assassination of, or to carry out the assassination on a American naval officer. And of course, the reason he had to be done away with is he had information on the Kennedy assassination, and certainly everybody who knew anything about the Kennedy assassination had to be eliminated. There were over 100 people who knew something about the assassination who were killed in that very untimely death. Does this sort of thing happen in America? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that sort of thing does happen in America. And, of course, there have been, if you doubt that, you need to get the book. Well, we actually carry that book about the strange death of Lieutenant Commander Spitzer. What was the title of that book we carry?
Without Smoking Gun.
Without Smoking Gun, you can get that through us. And then, of course, we also carry that book, Double Cross, written by the brother of the head of the mafia, telling about them. I mean, it is the most incredible story about the death of Marilyn Monroe and about the death of President Kennedy, written from the mafia's point of view. And the fact that most people have never heard that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So, certainly, you were about to tell us about the opportunity that you had to meet the Don. Where was it? Somewhere in Atlantic City?
Well, no, this was up in the Boston area, Massachusetts. Okay. I'd gone up with Master Sergeant Joe Hill to do some top-secret testing on Special Forces equipment, and we stayed at the Holiday Inn, and at the time we were staying there, it just happened to be the time when Frank Sinatra was there singing. So when he's around in those days, normally some of the mafia would be around because they enjoyed his singing, and he was associated with them, more or less. And we sat down, Master Sergeant Hill and I, in uniform, having some drinks. In those days I drank. I haven't since I got saved. And all of a sudden, drinks just started showing up. And we asked the waiter who was sending them. He wouldn't tell us. Finally, I grabbed his arm and told him I'd break it if he didn't tell me. And at that time, I did those kind of things. And he pointed to a man in a pinstripe blue suit, believe it or not, like you see in the movies, and it was the son of the local dom. And so we went over, and Joe Hill stood about 6'4". He was like John Wayne. I was about 5'10½ or 11". And we asked him why he sent the drinks over, and he said because it's the first time I ever saw a sergeant and a captain sit down and look like they're really enjoying each other's company. So we explained a little bit about Green Berets to him, sat down, and then we met with him two more times, and the third time he took us to meet his father, who was a Don. We had a filet mignon supper at his father's house, and that's when his father told me about the Aswan High Dam. In fact, I asked him, I said, did the company get a hold of you and ask you if you'd like to get in on the Kennedy hit? And it's funny, I'll never forget what he said. He says, yes, they call me, but I told them we don't have any problems with the Kennedys in Massachusetts.
Well, I think it's
Ted Kennedy.
Right.
Right. So anyway, we left there, and we finished our testing. Neither one of us started working for the mafia. But it is interesting that, without a doubt, the mafia works for the CIA at different times, doing different things. When I accepted the mission, I think people ought to know this too, on Lieutenant Commander Pitzer, I thought I was overseas, and I was already on orders to go to Vietnam. So it all made sense to me. But when they said it was in the United States, I just flat refused it.
Well, I think there are a lot of people in the name of patriotism will actually do this sort of thing. I've actually talked to three government assassins. Of course, you are one of them. But two others who've been paid to kill people, neither one of them will admit to doing that. Well, actually, now let's go to Keith in Detroit. But ladies and gentlemen, you must understand, this sort of thing really goes on in the world, and there really is no tooth fairy. There really is no Santa Claus, but there are really very evil people in our government, and it's time we took America back. Well, let's go to Keith, who's calling from Detroit. Hi, Keith. Did you have a question for the Colonel?
Yes, I did. I haven't read your book yet.
I hope you'll get it. We do carry the book, The Expendable Elite.
Yeah. What I'm seeing in the news and on the G2 bulletin from Joseph Farah is that there's going to be a nuclear Ramadan at the end of October, beginning of November, some point, you know, in between, Halloween and Thanksgiving or something. And I'm just wondering if your guest has got any, an opinion on whether or not special forces would be used in such a terrorist attack, which Zarqawi's already, claiming, well, hey, you know, this is going to be great. And
Steve, I can tell you this, that I was the very first commander of a portable atomic bomb team in the 6th Special Forces Group in Fort Bragg, North Carolina in 1964. We had what was called the SADM, Special Atomic Demolition Munition, and our job was to we had contingency missions. One of them was to destroy the hydroelectric plant, the Aswan High Dam, at the time it was under construction. Now, 2 years later, a local man from Syracuse, New York, was a medic on that same team. He is the only Green Beret who's been willing to come forward and actually volunteer to go to Congress, the same as Dennis David and I have, to talk to the American people's representatives about the things that the Green Berets get involved in. Now, there's a program on either the Diane Rehm show or one of those shows on National Public Radio, and they had the atomic experts on. This was about a year ago, from our government, and they were talking about the control of nuclear weapons. And I very fortunately got in. Not easy to get in on that show. And I asked what had been done with the SADM, the portable atomic weapons. And they had just told her that they were all the atomic weapons, that none of them had been destroyed, that all the weapons, mostly talking about bombs, of course, were stored in these big caves and mountains in Montana and that. And so I asked what happened to the sedums, because so it'd be so easy for terrorists, like you're talking about,
right,
to grab one of these. It only takes two men to carry them. The main bomb was 75 pounds and the trigger was 35, and then you just interlock them, set the timer on them, and run. And and you've got an atomic bomb with about 10 tons of TNT to blow up. And they said, well, we destroyed them all. And I said, well, you just told the moderator that you never destroyed an atomic weapon. And that's when they cut me off.
Okay, Keith, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of things out there that's just trying to scare us to death.
Keep your eye
on the ball. And remember, we can't do anything about it if something bad is going to happen. But we can understand that there are wicked people in our government. There are wicked people throughout the world.
I think you ought to write as congressman and find out what happened to the sadims, S-A-D-M.
All right.
The question was, is if there was a nuclear attack that they're already saying may happen, I know it might not, but if special forces would have to be used in the circumstances, you know, that they're going to...
I would say it'd be most likely that Green Berets would be used.
I'm much more worried about martial law. If anything happens in America, George Bush doesn't believe in our Constitution. He's already talked about in case of another major hurricane or in case of the avian flu epidemic, why he wants to use the military. And the military saying, we are not trained for that sort of thing. We're trained for combat, which means killing people. We're not trained for police force. We'd have to be completely retrained. I am very worried about the fact our president doesn't believe in the Constitution that
he's
trying to uphold.
Yeah, me too.
Hey,
but what Keith brought up, Dr. Stan, about specifically about the use of man-made atomic weapons, I don't think there would be anybody involved but the Green Berets, the Special Operations Command, let's put it that way.
But the thing, the question, would this be carried out by the terrorists? Would this be a feigned attack? We don't know, Keith.
No.
We'll just have to wait and see what
That's
happens.
Right.
And just pray to the Lord for your protection. And, of course, as few people's lives as possible would be lost. But
Amen.
Remember, nothing may happen.
Amen.
Right.
God bless. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mike calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I wanted to ask your guest if he could tell us just who is Ollie North, really.
Well, do you want to...
I can't answer that.
I think that's...
I know when Ollie first got in trouble, and he was going to be taken before court, a friend of mine in the CIA, he called me and he said, please get the word to Ollie's attorney that they have a system set up there so he may think that he destroyed a lot of stuff in his computer, but every time he hit a key on that computer, it was taken by satellite to a master computer, and they knew everything that he ever did, and he could never hide anything. And I sent that to his attorney, and I think that helped keep him from going to jail. No matter how good or bad he was, it wasn't he was obeying orders.
Is he staying out of jail by playing both sides?
That's right.
Okay, Mike, I really don't think that we know too much about where Oliver North stands, other than he was working with the establishment. He violated his oath to uphold the Constitution and went along with with Admiral Poindexter. He was destroying, shredding government evidence. I mean, if you really believe in the Constitution, you don't get involved with the dark side.
He
was involved with the dark side operations.
Amen.
Okay. You know, the Sadam briefcase bombs, don't they have a fairly short shelf life?
Well, actually, it wasn't a briefcase bomb at all.
Yeah.
What it was, it looked like a nose cone, and what it really was the bomb that they used to trigger the hydrogen bomb.
Okay.
We met with the scientist that came up with the idea and developed it.
Well, would the shelf life on those be something like 10 or 12 years?
I don't have the least idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thanks very much. And, of course, I think there are a lot of dangerous things in the world today.
Amen.
I mean, we are seeing hurricanes like I can never remember before seeing in my lifetime. We're seeing droughts in this country and elsewhere like we've never seen before.
That's right.
We're actually going to see, you know, tsunamis. Earlier this year, a tsunami killed 200,000 people. An earthquake recently killed something like 75,000 people
right.
in Pakistan.
Amen.
And I think we're seeing the birth pangs of some very, very violent things that lie ahead. And all I can say to people is that make sure you have a personal relationship with the Lord. Because
I was just going to say that. I would not have come out with one tiny word of what I've got in that book if it hadn't been for my daughter, Dana Lee, leading me to the Lord Jesus Christ on the 29th day of January, 1984. And then all of a sudden, I mean, just as you know, like you could snap your fingers, I realized from her reading the Bible to me, and when I asked Jesus into my heart, that I no longer feared the government sending anybody like me to kill me because Jesus would protect me.
Well, that's what we're going to have to rely on, and there are going to be some difficult times, there's no question
Amen.
About that. Well, you know, certainly you've led an amazing, amazing life, and you've had lots of contact with people. Let's just briefly talk a little bit about the assassination of Martin Luther King, because this was really a planned hit, wasn't it? I mean, of course, we're told that James Earl Ray acted alone, but wasn't he sort of the Lee Harvey Oswald, a patsy in the assassination?
Yeah, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald, of course, had absolutely nothing to do with the assassination of President Kennedy.
And weren't you actually told that when you were in assassins training?
That's right. That's right. In fact, it was kind of a funny thing. It was, if you could call that kind of thing funny, it was how a government can arrange for an assassination and blame a man that had nothing to do with it.
Well,
they told us there was four mafia people involved in the assassination of Kennedy. Well, actually six, but two of them were spotters. One of them was on the grassy knoll. That's Jimmy Files. You know about him,
right,
I believe.
Right.
And another one I don't know the name of was on the rooftop of the building that was adjacent to the Texas Book Depository. And the other two were spotters, were on the two different routes that sedan, the presidential sedan, could take from where he got hit to the hospital. So if he needed finishing off, they could take care of him. That's why they had spotters with him.
And I think really what's so amazing, over 100 people were assassinated who were associated
right.
in one way or another, and probably there are a lot of them that we don't even know about that were actually killed. You have to have a vast intelligence organization to do that. But then you have to have a vast intelligence organization to do so many of the things they've done, and then to silence anybody who tries to tell the American people
Amen.
The truth. And you got to have the media going along with you, or else eventually the truth will come out. Well, let's go to Larry calling in from Indiana. Hi, Larry. Where are you calling from in Indiana?
Gary.
Whereabouts?
Gary, Indiana.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question?
Yes, I would like to ask your guest, is it any way possible that John Muhammad and Marvel, the ones that was going across the country on that killing spree a couple of years ago, could they be part of a government conspiracy also? Because at the same time, when they was doing all that killing, they was marching into Iraq. You know, it seemed like our attention was being diverted.
You're talking about the killers there, the young boy and the older man there
yes.
on the East Coast.
Yes, I was wondering, could they be part of a government conspiracy also?
I have no idea.
I really don't know. There's a lot of strange things about that. For instance, we know that the young boy was picked up by the INS because he was here illegally, and then they let him go.
Yeah.
I really don't want to speculate without some solid evidence.
That's right. It's best not to.
Yes, and also the anthrax. I'm going to let you comment on the anthrax, because I was working in the post office when there was a scare. And for some reason, they never caught those people.
Isn't it very strange? But we know who knew about that ahead of time, and that was Dick Cheney, because he and the entire White House staff started on Cipro, which is specifically antibiotic for anthrax, but they started on the very evening of September 11th. Now, why would you start taking Cipro? And if you thought there was going to be an anthrax attack, why would you tell somebody about it? So
Amen.
A lot of strange things going on, Larry.
Okay, then.
Maybe that's why they've never found out who knew about it ahead of time.
Right.
God bless.
Well, all right, thanks a lot now.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for calling.
All right.
Okay, fine. Well, we've got people all across America listening. And well, Colonel, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners here? We got about a minute and a half before I have to let you go.
I'd say the most important thing is to work as hard as you can with prayer and working to get good, honest people into government, starting at the lowest levels, so that we can rid ourselves, if at all possible, of the evil that's within our government. I know it's hard to find people who will come out. You've got a very good program that seems to draw people to you that have got the courage to come out with the truth. And I hope and pray that you keep up your good work, Dr. Stan, and urge people to keep listening to your program.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, Colonel. And please keep in touch with us and let us know what happens. And when will the trial be over?
Friday, a week from Friday.
All right, fine. Well, we'll talk to you after that. And God bless and the best of luck with him.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask our listeners to pray for Colonel Marvin because he's going up against the most powerful forces in this country. He and Chris Milligan, who's a friend of ours, and they have been targeted for destruction by the most wealthy and powerful people in the world.
Amen.
And the only thing that's going to defend them is going to be your prayer. So make it a point this coming week to pray for them both. God bless, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us. We, of course, as you know, we have about 36 stations that hear us at least a half hour a week, and a lot of stations that pick up our program on Saturday. We have a great outreach across America, but quite frankly, it's pretty expensive. We've lost one of our supporters recently, major supporters, so if you are in a position to help, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Or if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our September newsletter dealt with the myth of peak oil. And it's a scam, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to matter because they're going to bankrupt a lot of our people and impoverish them. But it doesn't matter whether there is a shortage of oil or not. It will be exactly the same thing because, of course, we are going to have to bear the brunt of high oil and electricity and natural gas prices because it was planned that way. And there really are people out there who spend all of their time figuring out how they're going to change the world. They have a belief that they're so much smarter than the rest of us. And they're this noblesse oblige, there should be a ruling class and an impoverished class. And, well, I think there are going to be an awful lot of impoverished people before the coming economic downturn is over. And let me suggest to you that if you listen to our programs, you can learn an awful lot. We have a DVD. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis, and we have a little pamphlet that goes with that called The History of Money, and those two together really will give you tremendous insight into what's going on and perhaps help you to begin to make plans to survive the coming crisis. And then, of course, we have this great new DVD and or video we've done called A Planned Population Reduction. And if you can stand listening to me talk for 2 hours and a half, there are a lot of graphics and other things there that you'll see, so you don't have to watch me all the time. But the information is really great. You're not going to hear it anyplace else. And I've been told by several people who've seen it how much they learn from it and how beneficial it is to help them reach others. So that's the planned population reduction. Certainly you need to get our material on water fluoridation. That's the video we've done called The History of Water Fluoridation. Now, that's me talking. There's another one on the history of water fluoridation that we have available. That's the Hidden Agenda syllabus, and then, of course, 2 4 tape sets, and Chris Bryson's excellent book entitled Fluoride Deception. I think that the title we put on my DVD was drinking water safe? Is your drinking water safe? And the answer is no, they're poisoning your children, and you better, of course, get the information and help us get the truth out across America. On this one issue, if we could convince the people they've been lied to, why we could take back America. So please help us get the truth out about water fluoridation. We have so much information available at Radio Liberty. And, of course, if you would like to get a DVD, pardon me, if you would like to get a newsletter, free newsletter on water fluoridation, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 or go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our newsletters on fluoridation or so many other subjects. You can listen to our programs there live 3 hours a day. Then, of course, indirectly on 2 other hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs. You won't get much accomplished, but you get an awful lot of great information. So there's the DVD, The History and Toxicity of Water Fluoridation, the book, The Fluoride Deception, and Is Your Drinking Water Safe? That's my talk, the title that they put on that one. Remember, of course, we're putting on an all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay area on November 19th, and we hope that you can come. We're going to be serving lunch, so give us a call if you're going to be able to make it. We have to know who's going to be here. And then, of course, we remind you that we do make provide the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filters, and if you have water fluoridation, you should have one. They're great for emergencies. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.